The Web's Michael Smith. It's episode 123 of the Canes Cast, and I have one question for you.
Yes?
Are you ready for the second half grind?
I'm ready. I'm feeling rested and refreshed. Now I'm actually pretty tired.
You do look a little tired.
Yeah.
Dragging a little bit, if you will.
Well, Super Bowl last night.
Yeah.
Stayed up, watched a little bit.
Sure.
And then...
Oh, there was a Canes game in the afternoon. That was...
Yeah, there was.
Believe it or not, in my life now, unless the team I cheer for is in the Super Bowl, the further I get away from covering all sports, the further I get away from really caring about the Super Bowl.
Yeah, I mean, it's still fun to watch.
Well, it's what I wanted it to be.
It was a great game.
That's all I want. If my team's not there, that's all I want. Yeah.
Yeah.
Commercials were solid.
And then the Masked Singer should not hold your attention as long as it does, and it held my attention.
Held my attention for 0.8 seconds. I saw, like, the monster going to the stadium.
Yeah.
And is it Nick Cannon? Is he the host?
Yeah, he is.
And he looked up, and I'm like, okay, time to flip.
Yep. Weird panel of judges, but for some reason, I don't know, it works.
Mr. Leslie Chow is one of the panelists.
Yeah.
Ken Jeong.
Yeah.
Sort of a Carolina's own.
Yeah, he went to UNC.
And Tar Heel. He's actually more of a Blue Devil. That's what he identifies with.
Well, that's where he earned his doctorate, I guess, right? Or his PhD, whatever. Doctor?
No, I think he did undergrad at Duke and doctorate at UNC.
Oh, I thought it was the other way around.
It doesn't matter. He's a funny man.
He is a funny man, and he's from North Carolina.
All right, we're off to a roaring start here. You know what we could use?
We could use a Storm Brew.
Absolutely. They're the fine sponsor of this podcast.
If it wasn't 10 o'clock on a Monday, I guess.
I could not disagree with you more.
Storm Brew is the official Canes beer. It's a crisp, light lager made by our friends at R&D Brewing right here in Raleigh, North Carolina, at just 97 calories and 2.4 carbs per serving. It's the perfect brew for all occasions, especially Canes home games, where a 16-ounce can is just $5. Taste the Storm at your local tap room and most major retailers with new store locations added daily.
Crispy.
Very crispy.
I generally agree with you on 97% of the things said on this podcast, but... That comment you just made before.
About not having a Storm Brew right now.
Our sponsor.
Well, I'm not a total degenerate.
It's not a total degenerate. It is a crisp, light, refreshing lager. And it's 10 in the morning. I'm not asking you to drink at 7.
That's true.
Thank you.
Who's to say?
Not me. I'm not judging, but you evidently have your judgy pants on
today. Hopefully our bosses aren't listening.
Hopefully they are. Then they'll know that we appreciate our sponsors.
And we will appreciate them more once we're in St. Louis.
Yes, we will. That's what I've been told. A good cost of living.
But thanks to our friends at R&D Brewing, Storm Brews. I love when people shout them out now on Twitter, take a picture of them as they're enjoying a beverage here. And
letting us know that they're crispy.
Oh, they're very crispy.
Love it. Love it.
Yeah. It's good to know all our listeners.
But
enjoy
if you are going
Storm
to jump on that bandwagon and try to like invent a different word like zesty, don't even reach for the bandwagon. Just stay on your side of the road.
It's crispy.
Crispy.
That's what our friend Jordan Martinook says.
Yes.
And we agree with our friend Jordan Martinook.
Absolutely 100%.
The end.
See, now we agree. Again,
yes.
And we can get going.
Now we're back on track.
All right. Let's rewind to look ahead, shall we, Mr. Smith?
Rewind to look ahead.
The bye week and the All-Star break hit for the Carolina Hurricanes. You were in St. Louis, and our good friend, Jacob Slavin, not only did he make his All-Star game appearance, he wins a skill competition as he was put in the most accurate shot, which is not just accuracy, but how fast you can hit all five targets. He had the fastest time since 2011. That's pretty good. But you were there for all of the festivities. One, how did St. Louis do? Because we're going back there, and I know you're excited for that.
Mm.
But two, how cool was it for you? It's been a couple of years now where you get to see somebody making their All-Star game debut.
Yeah.
It's still good to see guys soak in that environment.
Yeah, that's always fun because, Justin Falk went for a few years, so he kind of knew, once you got into that second or third year, he kind of knew what to expect. So having Sebastian Aho in San Jose last year was a lot of fun because it was brand new for him. He got to hang out with a bunch of Finns. Finns, by the way, no representation at All-Star weekend this year. It was completely devoid of Finns for some reason. And then to see Jacob Slavin this year, spending some good family time in St. Louis. He had members of his family, members of his wife's family. His wife was there. His baby was there. It was a nice weekend, for him to spend it with some family, among some of the game's great players. And you learn a lot from that. You learn a lot from just being around them, just talking to them, getting to know them. And for Jacob Slavin to win a skills competition event, that hadn't happened for a Hurricane in quite some time. I think it was maybe the early 2000s. I'd have to look back at who it was. Maybe Archer Zerbe or...
I'm going to go with... I remember that Sammy Kapanen was the fastest skater.
Right. And that was early 2000s, 2002 maybe?
Yeah.
04? I don't know. Somewhere around there. So it had been a while since a Hurricane won.
Maybe even late 90s.
I think there was an early 2000s.
I think you're right.
Yeah.
I'm sure we could look it up. But
yeah, I'm sure we could.
We'll get our people on it.
Yeah. That's, you know, if we had like a producer, if we had more than me and you working on this podcast.
You mean we don't have people? Every time we say we'll put our best people on it, I'm just referring to you or me?
Yeah.
All right.
And the internet. Google counts as a person, I think.
Not anymore. Let's not do this. Let's not make it more sentient than it needs to be.
Okay.
But overall, the experience, everything was good.
Oh, yeah. I mean, the weather was a bit of a drag, at least for the first couple of days. The sun finally came out on Saturday when the All-Star game was, which was good. But, yeah, St. Louis put on a good show. Green Day was there. That was cool.
A lot of mixed reactions to Green Day.
Yeah, did people not expect them to swear?
Yeah, I think that's what it was. I mean, it's like when Snoop Dogg was in L.A. Come on. It's Snoop. What'd you expect?
Yeah, it's Green Day. They're probably going to swear.
The greatest non-apology three times. Maybe the greatest non-apology in apology history from Snoop Dogg.
Yeah.
His tweet. My bad.
My bad. Yeah, it's, you know, I enjoy Green Day. Wish they would have played a couple more songs, but.
They only have so much time.
That's true. The intermissions are only so long. But yeah, it was a good weekend. Jacob Slavin winning the accuracy shooting event, taking advice from former Hurricanes captain Eric Staal, who actually did it that morning. So Eric Staal had his kids there, and he was at like the morning shoot around before skills. They were filming a thing with Patrick Sharp, and the accuracy shooting was, I guess they were testing it out, doing something with Sharp there. I don't know if it was for NBC or for what. But Eric Staal tried it and actually did it pretty quickly. I want to say it was right around Jacob Slavin's time. So I don't know why he didn't get to, you know, have a shot at it later that night. But anyway, but he just lined the pucks up and just started firing them as quickly as he could. And so he told Slavin that that's the strategy. Just shoot the pucks as fast as you can. Don't really, you know, don't take into account whether you're shooting hard, because that doesn't count. Or if you're missing one, who cares? Just go on to the next one, because it's not how many pucks are used to hit the targets. It's strictly a time thing.
Five hits on eight shots and 9.505 seconds.
Right. So
it's not the old Ray Bourque that I grew up with, correct. which was how many targets could you hit in the fewest amount of pucks?
Yeah.
/ shots it took to do that.
And it was different then, too, because you're fielding passes from teammates who are on the goal line, and they're alternating passes. So there's an additional time element then that comes into play, which is why I guess it's not timed anymore, because they're not having to take passes. They're just grabbing pucks and shooting.
That's why it is timed.
Did I say it backwards?
Yes.
Yeah, it's Monday morning.
I'm here for you. Don't worry. We have those out there who are monitoring the show, and I feel it's best if it just comes from me or you.
Yeah, that's why it is time now. Though I think it was also time when Daniel Sedin
won
here
in
Raleigh.
Yeah, they made it a time thing, but then they're like, well, if the passes are off,
correct,
the shooter's, it's not his fault.
Right. So Eric Staal's advice was to just shoot as many as you could, as quickly as you could, because it just doesn't matter. I think Leon Draisaitl actually hit the five targets in maybe seven shots. Mm-hmm. But his time was longer.
Well, then he did not win.
Correct, exactly. That's the strategy, is to just fire him as quickly as possible. The shooting at the plexiglass with the digital screen behind it, not a fan.
Yeah.
Not a fan. And Jacob Slavin, he won the event. Not really a fan either.
Yeah. Just go back to the old targets that break.
For one, it was pretty inaccurate. Jonathan Huberdeau had a shot that went mid-level off the post of the digital net, and the target in the top right shattered. It wasn't even close. And then Jacob Slavin's first shot, I'm hungry.
Evidently.
Jacob Slavin's first shot was very close to shattering the top left target. I don't know if it it truly hit. The second one definitely hit. The first one was very close. I'd be curious to see if like if a target would have broken on that.
You know what? As long as it doesn't decide real hockey games like the skills competition that we do have, that the Canes suddenly have an ace up their sleeve, we'll get to later on here.
Mm-hmm.
I don't care.
Yeah, it's just it was just weird. It's not what I was expecting, because even last year in San Jose, they used digital screens, but they were still in an actual net. So it felt weird this year.
They're trying to make it a little too fancy.
And then the plexiglass broke. And
well, what do they think? These are NHL players who have hard shots.
Right. So I don't know.
Right.
I mean, it was cool. Jacob Slavin won it, so that's all that matters.
That's honestly, end of this story, Jacob Slavin won it.
Yeah.
And St. Louis did a good job besides the weather not cooperating.
Yeah. And also bring back foam targets.
Yeah. Okay.
Please.
We co-sign on all that. Then there is the bye week where the Canes didn't play a hockey game for 9 days. Technically 10 if you want to get into it. And they came back and, you know, you could expect a little bit of rust against the Vegas Golden Knights. A little bit. But that first period that the Canes put out against Vegas, it didn't make anybody happy.
No.
In particular, the head coach, Rod Brind'Amour.
Yeah. I don't think it made anybody in the locker room happy either. But, yeah, Rod Brind'Amour, terrible is what his word was.
That was his word.
Twice, actually, after the game.
I don't remember him, and he's been the head coach now for 100-plus games for the Carolina Hurricanes. I've never remembered him being more disappointed and at the same time angry about a performance that his team has had.
Yeah, there's that one up in New York earlier this year where the Hurricanes got behind by two or three, by three, I think it was, came back and scored two in the second and sort of wasted that comeback effort that
the
he
was. The Toronto game is the one where I vividly remember. I'm like, well, you know, they came back. He goes, or was it New York where he said you waste the comeback?
I think he might have said it for both, yeah. And he kind of said it after this one too, because the first 20 minutes, really the first 10 minutes, is what did the Hurricanes in. They got in an early hole against a team that played a fast game.
Yep.
And maybe just too, it was that the Hurricanes weren't playing as fast as we're used to seeing them play. But yeah, Vegas came coming off the same break. They just had more jump. Last year, the Hurricanes and Vegas played coming off the break as well here, and the Hurricanes had more jump. Vegas didn't have it. I think it's just a matter of coming off these breaks. It's tough to know what to expect. And you can talk about the start and how important it is and all of that, but you never really know until that puck drops what's going to happen. And the Hurricanes had it last year. They didn't have it this year. Vegas didn't have it last year. They had it this year. And that's the result of that. I think in a game like that, the first goal might be even more important than it is in any other game. Because if the Hurricanes score first, even if they're not great, maybe psychologically they're like, okay, you know, this is...
We got a lead. We can...
Right. We're back in it. You kind of settle into the game. I think Vegas got their two goals pretty early on, the first 10 minutes, take a 2-0 lead, and mentally they're just like, okay, we're back to where we need to be. We're rolling. And the Hurricanes, on the other hand, are like, uh-oh, you know, the start was emphasized. We didn't have a good start. And then you start to maybe panic a little bit.
The only thing about that, and I think you're right.
It's a bit armchair-y.
No, I think you're right. But going back, Vegas was good from the jump. I mean, they had their legs. They were buzzing. They were creating the chances. So that's something where we'll never know. But if the Canes did pop in the first goal on Malcolm Subban, but Vegas continued to play like they were playing and the Canes continued to play like they were playing, I think that Vegas would have gotten out of the first period or would have eventually gotten to the lead.
Yeah, it's a fair
point. But I don't...
Malcolm Subban was good, too.
Yeah. The save he makes on Sebastian Aho on the power play from the pass from Justin Williams, that saves the game. I'm going to give you a choose-your-own-adventure.
Ooh.
You want me to be positive guy about this or negative guy about what we saw?
Let's try negative.
All right. This team can't keep having these bad starts.
Oh, no, I don't like this.
And that's why this team, which even though they're 10 games above 500, is doomed.
Yeah, I don't
like
that one.
I'm kind of getting tired of that.
Yeah, well,
because yes, when a team loses, it's never good, and I get people want to complain. The positive side is that was one of the worst periods of hockey we've seen the Carolina Hurricanes play. We can certainly say this year, and they still had a chance to win the game.
Yep. Yep.
Tied still had a chance to win the game.
Had a lot of momentum in the third period, actually.
Yep.
Didn't deserve. They got what they deserved, yeah, which was 0 points. But it looked for a second like they might salvage at least a point.
Yeah. So that's the positive end that this team, and it's a dangerous trend.
Sure.
So I'm going to try to split the difference here.
Sure.
I'm not going to be like, hey, sunshine and rainbows, you know, they were bad, but hey, they had the good opportunity.
Yeah, well,
I'm going to split the difference. You can't get off to that start and expect to win. But this is a team right now that even if they have that bad start or that lull, they still have enough to believe and enough talent to stay in the game and get back into it.
Yeah, and that's I think, the biggest difference between this year and maybe previous years is the skill is there to, even if they get in a hole early, they can work back from it, erase it. Their goaltending has generally been pretty good. James Reimer's been excellent in his last, 10, 12 starts, to where even if they get in a hole early, like they did on Sunday against Vancouver, really just a bounce, you know, that Elias Pettersson was able to take advantage of.
Oh, but he was that goal is amazing, how he took advantage of it.
Oh, he's an excellent player. He was really fun to watch last night, yesterday, Sunday.
Afternoon, whenever you're listening.
Yeah. But it wasn't like the Hurricanes broke down or anything on that play. It just the puck hit him in the slot. Slavin's moving one way with him. He's able to recognize it, stop, find the puck, and put it in the net. So it wasn't, though the Hurricanes were down 1-0 after 20 minutes on Sunday, it wasn't like they had a bad period.
Much better start, but it's funny you go back and watch that goal. James Reimer and Jacob Slavin both start to track the puck to the right, and it bounces to the left, and Pettersson just fires it home. But back to the Vegas game, and I don't want to do a deep psychosis dive, but it's weird to me that losses seem to be and bring out way more negative reaction than wins bring out positive reactions now.
I think it's expectation.
That's fine. Yeah. But if we're going to temper all of these things, and I think that everything, we try to get way too one side or the other, and sometimes you just have to temper things and take a look at where it's at. And, you know, for the Canes, they got off to a really good start this year. How many years have we been lamenting the start of the season for the Carolina Hurricanes? You know, it'd be great to go 82-0. It's never been done, at least to my knowledge.
Not yet.
No.
Teams have tried.
Yeah.
Fallen very short.
Tampa came pretty close last year.
Tampa did try.
What did that do for them in the playoffs?
Yeah, not much.
Exactly. So, look, there are things that this team needs to adjust and correct. And what I loved, what Rod Brind'Amour said about it, was this team can't have two players be passengers or no-show, let alone, you know, half a dozen. That's what I love, because this team, when they're all firing, they are hard to beat. But when they're not on the same page, it's tough to win games in this league now. I think we say that almost every week here on CanesCast. But
yeah.
You know, you file that game under, you can never have that period again. But I don't know how much I can blame it on the break, because there was a practice and a morning skate. This isn't like, you know, the day after Christmas where, you know, you get on a plane and go.
Yeah, and Vegas had the same break, so.
Yeah. It's not like they did like a few years ago where teams were actually playing teams that had already come back from the bye.
Yeah.
They at least figured that out. So, look. You flush that period.
It's also a good team. Like, I mean, well, you know,
there are not too many bad teams anymore in the NHL.
That's the thing. So
there are bad teams, but they're not a lot of them.
Yeah. So you're going to lose games. You're going to lose games to teams that are also good. Vegas has got a lot of skill. And I think that coaching change kind of helps spark, you know, some of their players say, well, okay, wait a minute. We're capable of more than what we're doing. Yeah. Was it a great effort? No, it wasn't a great effort, at least for the first 20 minutes. I thought they sort of
They built
started to push back in the second, and then were good early on in the third. But, they had a bad 20 minutes, and that cost them.
Yeah.
So,
and you know, you talk about playing a complete 60. Every team likes to say that, but maybe it's years of covering teams, and a lot of times I've been neutral in that. You know, both sides are going to have a push. Yeah. Both sides are going to have a moment where they take over the game.
Right. Look at the 49ers last night. They had a bad 10 minutes and lost the Super Bowl.
Yeah. I don't even know if you can say it was a bad 10 minutes. The Chiefs had a great 10 minutes.
Yeah. So it's just a matter of each team is going to push. It's a matter of pushing back, or at least...
Or not letting the push dictate or dominate the rest of the game. And unfortunately for Carolina, that game coming back from the break on Friday, the push from Vegas dominated the rest of the game because you got in a hole against a really good team and it's hard to dig out.
How was your break, by the way?
It's very good.
Let's talk about it real quick.
Okay.
New Orleans?
It was excellent.
Yeah?
Everything First I time expected there. It to be. First time I'd ever been in New Orleans. Everything I expected it to be.
Good foods?
Absolutely. Do we need to say goodbye to Bill Burniston for a minute or no?
Maybe.
The strength and conditioning.
This is Bill Burniston coming to you live from the Canes locker room.
The strength and conditioning coach of the Canes. Yeah. Food's unbelievable.
Did you do the beignets?
I did a beignet and coffee.
Yummy.
It was outstanding.
Yeah.
They're chewy, and they put about 38 pounds of powdered sugar on them.
Oh, that's healthy.
Yeah. Show you a picture if you want to see.
I saw.
Oh, I know, but I'll show it to you again just for reference point.
Delicious.
Oh, my goodness. Yeah. No, the po' boys are the way to go. You should go, Mr. Smith.
Yeah.
You like to travel. You can take cruise ships. They leave out of New Orleans all the time.
Yep.
There you go.
There's a port right in New Orleans. Look at all that sugar.
Oh, gracious.
My goodness.
It was delicious.
Even the video portion of the podcast is salivating.
I know. As well it should be. But it's everything I expected that city to be.
Yeah.
Which, folks, like I say, and with Vegas coming up with the Canes heading to Las Vegas, doesn't mean that this city's for everybody, but I'm always like, at least go and find out if you like it.
Yeah.
If you don't like it, if you think it's not for you, you don't have to go back, but at least experience some things.
Yeah.
So... How was your cruise? I was a little bit worried about you.
That was good.
I heard that there was some trouble on the high seas, but it evidently did not involve you.
No, not with us. We were great. Went to a couple stops in the Bahamas. Plenty of sun.
How's the food on a cruise ship? Did you get like?
I like it.
What do they have?
I had a pork chop one night. I had some garlic tiger shrimp another night.
Can you get a roast turkey on a cruise ship?
You can get a roast turkey on a cruise ship.
Good to know.
At least on this one.
Oh well.
Good food on the one of the Bahamian islands.
Just say one of the islands in the Bahamas.
It's one of the islands in the Bahamas. One of the Berry Islands is what it is in the Bahamas. Good food there. Some nice tacos with some tortillas pressed right there on the island.
Good for you.
Very tasty.
Good for you.
Good crispy you. Too.
Crispy?
Crispy.
Oh, yeah. New Orleans.
No storm brews on
New Orleans. Orleans is a crispy city.
I bet. Oh. Any storm brews down there?
No.
I haven't made it there quite yet.
Oh, but there's a lot down there.
They're outside the 75-mile radius of Raleigh.
I can just put it in these terms for you. You can walk out of whatever restaurant or establishment you are in with a beverage.
Like Vegas.
Yes.
And like a cruise ship, too. And walk out of an establishment with a beverage.
Well, you're on a boat. There's really no other place where you can go.
Nope.
So it'd be kind of weird if they just kept you in a room.
Yeah.
So never done a cruise. Thinking about it, though.
Yeah, I had a blast.
Good.
Made it back just in time for Friday's game, which was unfortunate, but.
Yes.
That's okay.
For you, the way that it turned out.
That's okay.
Don't blame you.
But it was nice to get away, and we saw all the Hurricanes players getting away really the week before the bye week, you know, well in advance of the All-Star break because the Hurricanes played the Winnipeg Jets on Tuesday before heading into the All-Star break. That's a sandwich.
That's a po' boy. Yeah. It's delicious.
Good po' boy?
It's for the video portion of the program.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was outstanding.
But a lot of the Hurricanes players getting away right over All-Star weekend basically before coming back to Raleigh, you know, well in advance, I think, of Friday's game, really of Thursday's practice, to get back in the swing of things. But a good time to rest and recharge for the final stretch run of the season because as we look at the standings, it's going to be a dogfight right to the very end.
Pretty much.
And even though the Hurricanes put themselves in a good position, a much better position than last season, you look at last season and the Hurricanes basically had to go on the run they did just to make the playoffs, the Hurricanes now just have to be consistent basically from now to the end of the season and keep at the pace that they've been playing at all season long, which doesn't put them in a bad spot. They're not in a great spot, but they're not in a bad spot. They're right in the thick of things in the ultra-competitive Metropolitan Division, and this is going to be a race that I think, again, goes down right until the wire because you've got Columbus, you've got Philadelphia, you've got Florida and Toronto who are going to flip-flop in that three spot.
That's starting to concern me. I will admit I thought the Atlantic was not of a concern a month ago, and now the Atlantic is a concern.
So before we get to questions, because we got a ton of them this week, let's first look back at Sunday's game against Vancouver, because I thought that was an excellent way for the Hurricanes to wrap up this really home-heavy stretch. They've been at home quite a bit in the last month and change. And to beat Vancouver, which I didn't realize until I looked at the standings, they were leading the Pacific Division. But to be honest, I think a different team leads the Pacific Division every other day.
It feels like it. But they have a 3-point lead over the Edmonton Oilers and a 4-point lead over the Vegas Golden Knights.
So that's a good young team. They're fast, they're skilled. And every time the Hurricanes seem to grab an advantage, you know, scoring too early in the second period, Vancouver would find a way to answer back. But to the Hurricanes' credit, you know, they were persistent. They never really came off their game at all. I thought they really found their game in the second period. And then overtime was great. I wanted to see 20 minutes of that.
That's why I have no problem with the 3-on-3 overtime. I still am not a fan of the shootout. I don't think I'm ever going to be convinced that that is a right way to end a hockey game. You can try. I just don't think I'm going to come off of it because
I would like to see 10 minutes of 3-on-3.
I think
so. 10 minutes of that, I think the game would have ended probably.
But the question is, you know, will the players go off for 10 more minutes? They'd have to sign on that, and I don't know. But you know, I keep hearing 7 minutes. Just tack 2 more minutes on.
I don't think
would
that's
that do
enough.
I'm with you. I think 10. Yeah. You go to 10.
Just you'll round have it off at 10.
You'll have a winner at 10 minutes of 3-on-3.
And if not, then you have the shootout. You're only adding 5 minutes.
No, goodbye.
You're just reinstituting ties at that point.
I am all in on this.
No, can't do it. I don't think you would see that many shootouts, honestly. But yeah, I think at some point, because you'd either have to have a deeper bench and play more guys in that 10-minute overtime, which might lead to more scoring chances, or you know, you're going to have guys who end up getting tired and then, again, more scoring chances.
We just make so many concessions in sports. Like, one of them now, I'm already exhausted with the NFL debate for overtime, where they're like, college does it best. Yeah, college does it best, but if you give the NFL the ball on the 25-yard line or even the 35-yard line, if they get 7 yards, they're probably going to kick a field goal, and we're just going to keep watching that. That's not entertaining.
Do you see what the XFL is doing?
No.
They're doing like a shootout sort of thing. You like get the ball on the 5, and then you run a play, and each team gets, I think it's a best of 5. So if whoever scores the most out of their 5 plays that they run from the 5-yard line wins the game. It's like a shootout, basically.
Yeah.
Fine. But it involves offense and defense because it's a different sport.
The biggest complaint now is the NFL changed the rule to where you can't kick a field goal if you receive the kick in overtime. You can't kick a field goal to win the game. You gotta, but if you score a touchdown, the game's over. And people are like, can't believe that, you know, one team gets the ball, the other team doesn't. Well, your defense stopping the other team is part of the game.
Yeah.
I'm digressing.
Yeah, where
we move on.
Where were we?
Well, just talking about overtimes and making changes to things and everybody complaining about it. Well, if everybody keeps getting the ball and just keep going forever, and then, okay, what if somebody gets hurt in an overtime? Then what if this happens? Or what if you have one team that, you know, just has a matchup that is going to work a lot better from the 25-yard line? You know, it doesn't become the actual game. Whereas the overtime is, it's the actual game. Well, we lost a coin toss. That sucks. But if we keep you out of the end zone, which we should do, we have a chance to win the game. That's all you would want, but that's not enough anymore.
10 minutes, 3-on-3, and then a shootout.
10 minutes, 3-on-3. No make ties. Games. Make games worth 3 points. Because that's what you do anyway.
Make games worth 3 points.
If you make games worth 3 points, then I will go to a shootout.
Perfect.
But if you make games worth Deal. 2 points, you go to your 3-on-3. You play 10 minutes, and if it doesn't get done, everybody gets a point. We all go home.
Nope.
Fine.
3 minutes.
Fine.
Or 3 points, not 3 minutes. 3 points.
I don't even want to discuss the shootout anymore. You could come out with parsecs right now, and I will just be, yep, fine, whatever you want. I'm not co-signing on it if it's got a shootout at the end.
But, hey, Justin Williams.
Shootout specialist.
Shootout specialist. And I love Brendan Moore's quote from postgame. He's a clutch guy.
Yep. Don't need to say much more.
Might as well throw him over the boards. He's made it happen once, made it happen again, and he's made it happen a lot more in clutch situations. Oh,
no doubt about it.
Good win for the Hurricanes before heading out on this road trip that'll take them through St. Louis, Arizona, Vegas, and Dallas.
Big goal for Nino Niederreiter.
Yes, because he was the healthy scratch against Vegas. And he hadn't scored in 2-3 weeks.
Yep.
It was January 11th, I think. Big goal for him. Big goal for the Hurricanes, honestly, just to get him on the board.
Yep.
And what was a really good first 10 minutes of the second period, I thought. That Vancouver pushed back a bit in the latter half, and the Brett Pesce's wrist or
vein
hand
blowing
exploded.
Up, evidently. That was the non-technical term we got from Rod Brendan Moore.
Yeah, I think the medical term would probably be like lacerated vein.
That'd be my thought.
Scary situation.
Yes.
Really scary situation.
What people, I think, take for granted about the puck and about the players, not every inch of the players has padding on. You know, the wrist area is open. That's why you see guys when they get slashed on the wrist.
Yeah. And even those that have padding, as we saw with Ryan Reeves,
does not feel good. Well, that's a whole different set of grapes.
Yes.
But in the case of, you know, Pesce, everybody's thinking, was it a skate? Was it a stick? The puck is a flat disc with an edge on the top and the bottom, and it's frozen, and it's solid, and it's being shot very hard by guys who know how to shoot the puck. So if you take a flat edge and it kind of gets to that, you know, point, that sweet spot, and it hits you in the wrist, it's going to do damage.
Ouchies.
Wow. Did you just say ouchies?
Yes.
Wow. Okay.
Hi.
Yeah.
Didn't know that was coming into
play. I think
play.
That's what Pesce said yesterday in so many words.
Why? I think you would have said a lot more than that. That's just me.
But, yeah, so he got stitched up, and he was right back in action in
that's
the third
it.
Period.
That's it. And, you know,
and that's good, because if the Hurricanes were to lose two of their top defensemen in the span of about 2 weeks, that would be bad.
He's tough. He's a hockey player. And, by the way, looking down on practice right now, all six defensemen are on the ice for the Carolina Hurricanes.
That's a good sign.
All right. One more thing about that, the Vancouver game. The Andre Svechnikov goal.
Pretty. Crispy.
That had, that was so crispy. That had everything in one goal. It had power. It had speed. And then to get that shot off as he's closing in on the goalie, you know, you're thinking he's going to make a move. And
right.
He snaps a shot far corner, upper 90. I'm serious. I like to quote, if you've ever seen the movie Lethal Weapon, there's a line, you know, maybe 8-9 guys in the world could have made that shot. That was Andrei Svechnikov.
Yeah.
With everything that went into that goal, which was huge for the Carolina Hurricanes, everything that went into that goal, I just don't know what the ceiling is for him, because I don't think he has one.
Yeah.
I really don't. I think he is going to be
as
great as he wants to be.
Every time you think he's reached it, he just raises it. So it's a constantly moving ceiling.
But that's the thing. I can't set it. He's 19 years old, and he's gone back-to-back 20-goal seasons. Since the Canes moved from Hartford to Carolina, only two players in their first two seasons with the Carolina Hurricanes have scored 20 goals in both of those seasons. Jeff Skinner, Sebastian Aho. Those are good goal scorers to be in the company of.
Yep. And I think he's the eighth player in franchise history to do it.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's pretty good. And the movie made, too, like, basically goes end to end.
Yeah.
Catches some speed through the neutral zone, goes wide around an all-star defenseman in Quinn Hughes, who is he participated in the fastest skater. He can move, he can defend, and Andrei Svechnikov just put the shoulder down, made the power move on him, went backhand forehand in the blink of an eye.
But that was a big win for the Carolina Hurricanes, much needed. And when you watch how this team was playing, I wanted to see how they reacted to the Vegas game, and they checked all of the boxes of how you wanted to see him react.
Yeah. So now the team goes on a 4-game trip.
Yes, they
against
do.
Western Conference opponents.
I had a Will Ferrell for you.
If you like it, you can take it. If you don't, send it right back.
We will see, because this podcast does have a little bit of all-star taste to it. We will see Andrei Svechnikov in an all-star game.
Absolutely.
Okay.
Take it.
Yeah.
Probably should have seen him this year. Probably could have seen him this year.
Could have seen him this year.
You know, and that's not to take anything away from Jacob Slavin. The Hurricanes could have had two All-Stars, and Andrei Svechnikov could have easily been one of them. But, yeah, before he's 19 now, before he's, you know, 22, he might have been in two already. He's going to be in a few.
All right. I know you don't have one.
I'll think of one. Hurricanes.
I have a bunch that you're not going to get bailed out on Twitter. I've already looked.
Oh, I've got one right now, because the Hurricanes are about to embark on a 4-game road trip.
Yes.
They'll secure 6 points.
This is a tough one.
This is against the St. Louis Blues, defending Stanley Cup champions.
This is a tough one.
The Arizona Coyotes, the Vegas Golden Knights, who we saw very recently, and the Dallas Stars.
6 points? You know I want to take it, but I think I got to give it back. This would be a road trip where 4 points would be really good.
Yeah, I was going to say five.
Five is great.
Yeah.
Anything above four, you take it and you run back to Raleigh with it. But St. Louis is going to be a tough game. Arizona, that's got to be the win.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you look at got to be. Mm-hmm. And Arizona's good.
Yeah.
They are. They're in a playoff position right now.
Right in the thick of things in that Pacific. That's wild.
That Vegas team has so much talent on it.
And that building is
loud.
Yeah, it's tough to play in.
Yeah. The Canes have played well in that building. Mm-hmm. You know, they won their first time there.
Yep.
And then you go to Dallas. And Dallas just seems to be a house of horrors for this Carolina Hurricanes.
You go to Dallas after being in Vegas, too.
Yeah.
And that's at the tail end of the trip. That one's tough.
Yeah.
That one's tough.
So that's why I think I would love to tell you, yeah, there's 3 wins on that trip. But if you get 2 wins, you go 500 on the road for this one, that's good. So yeah. I unfortunately have to send it back. I'm not going to ask you. It's your question. Five, absolutely. 4, still good. 6 is an amazing trip.
I would send it back too, probably.
Right. This one comes from the original Mama Jerk. After too many missed calls on the Canucks today and across the league regularly, how long till more than just torts takes the refs in league to task? Perhaps Roddy will, if you like it, take it.
Was that a like it, take it, or a question?
Well, it was like, if you like it, take it, et cetera, but it seems more like a question. Are we going to say more coaches? Well, for like it, take it, are we going to see more coaches take the league to task?
Probably not.
No, not in Tortsville.
No.
So
and that's a lot of money. That's 20 grand.
Yeah. We'll send that one back.
Yeah.
Just so we have that. But I think that we're going to see coaches toe the line. I don't think we're going to see anybody go full John Tortorella.
Yeah.
That's who Torts is, who she's referring to.
Here's the thing about
Blue Jackets.
Here's the thing about Sunday for me. The officials had a bad game. And that's going to happen because they're human.
Mm-hmm.
The Hurricanes had a bad game against Vegas. That's going to happen because they're human.
Yeah.
So, and the officials last night, yesterday, two good officials, you know, not ones that you typically find on, you know, the polls of the worst officials in the league. They didn't have a great afternoon on the ice. That's all. I don't know if the official near Brett Pesce, when he was down and injured, realized the extent of the injury. I don't think Brett Pesce realized the extent of the injury until he took his glove off.
Well, until he probably saw a couple of
correct
droplets of
and I don't
blood
know,
coming out.
I don't know if the referee in the position he was in could see that he was bleeding. I mean, and the Hurricanes had possession of the puck. So it's Or no, I guess Vegas had possession of the puck.
Vancouver.
I'm getting all my V's confused.
Wow. Now you're drawing me into your net of V's.
But it's not like I don't think it was anything malicious by the officials yesterday to not blow the whistle. I just don't think anybody realized what was happening.
The problem that I have with this is everybody. I know we all watch it through our team glasses, but if you watch other games around the league, I never remember the officiating being this poor. And I'm not going to go on a rant about it because I'm not going to get fined by the NHL, but there are certain things where I think the NHL could do. They could tweak. They could make things better, and they don't. And they also put their officials in really tough spots because I've said this before, and I'm sure I'll say it 1,000 more times. They take rules that could easily be black and white, and they make them gray. And that's hard for the men who are calling it. The linesmen, when it comes to offside calls, the officials who've got to find out what's a penalty. And also, I don't understand, if you're not going to take a guy off of the ice as the game keeps getting faster, and the more Rod Brind'Amour keeps talking about not losing the job, but you take one of the referees and put him in the penalty box where he can watch video and consult, and if something gets hairy, he can just jump right on the ice and help out. I love that idea because how many pucks hit a referee or a linesman in the Vancouver game, like I counted 5 because the game's fast and the players are bigger. But if Michael Smith and I ref a game, we're partners. We are the officials. You know what game you're going to get if Michael Smith and I are a referee tandem. Not a technical tandem, but a referee tandem. But then if Michael Smith is the younger guy of the group, and then he's going to go work with some 20-year veteran official, well, he's not going to call the game the same way he would with me because we have a rhythm. We know what we're looking for. Now he's got to be a little different. Maybe a call gets missed because he thinks the other guy's going to call it. And then you get these situations that the league puts themselves in. I don't think I get fined for anything I said there, do I?
No, I don't think it's any worse than it's been. I just think the game's a lot faster now.
For me, it feels more noticeable than it's ever been. Maybe you're right, but I just seem to notice a lot more.
I think it's the same thing with the sticks. Like, I don't think they're breaking any more than they have in maybe last year. It's just that
when they break, it seems to lead to an inopportune event.
Right,
the other way.
It's happened a couple times. It's recency bias. That's all it is.
Ooh, not Regency?
No, recency bias.
Good for you. All right.
But, the officials had a bad game. Fine. Play through it. Yeah. Kill the penalty. Yeah. Score on a power play. Like, it's part of the game. The officials are human, and it's part of the game. So play through it.
Thank you.
That's all.
Thank you. I 100% endorse what you just said.
I get that there are some bad officials.
As much as we got off to me not endorsing what you said to start this podcast, I 100% endorse what you just said.
Yeah. It's all part of the game.
Part of the game.
And the Hurricanes have a good penalty kill. And they've got a pretty good power play. So take advantage of it.
And the other thing, too, it evens out at some point.
It does.
Not on purpose, but it evens out because there are games, folks, where the Canes get the calls.
Yeah. And you just can't let it. When you start letting it affect the way you play and affect the way, you know, your psyche, and that's when it starts to get concerning. But
thank you.
Just play through it.
Thank you. I get. What's the word I'm looking for? I don't want to say upset, Michael, but fan bases that feel that the world's out to get them, that just drives me insane because that's not the case. Yeah. There's no conspiracy.
They're just a couple of humans on the ice, and they're going to make mistakes.
Absolutely.
Just like all of us.
Yeah.
Just like me. I've made, I don't know, 3 or 4 mistakes this podcast.
No,
I'm terrible.
No, you haven't. Not at all.
And
if you have, somebody I'm sure out there on Twitter would point it out.
You know what's not a
mistake? That's just a happy, positive place.
You know what's not a mistake?
What's that?
Drinking Storm Brew.
Absolutely, my friend. And you know what? You can get it in even more places than you can imagine.
Yeah.
And the crispiness.
I see it more. Whenever I go out, I see it more and more.
Well, you can see it at Harris Teeter, Food Lion, Lowe's Foods, Whole Foods, Fresh Market, Wegmans, Walmart, Costco, all locations in Raleigh-Durham and Apex.
I do love Costco.
That's a good thing. Who doesn't? Handy Hugo plus Carolina Ale House watch parties. Perfect opportunity to try Storm Brew if you haven't already.
Speaking of a watch party, there's one coming up on Tuesday in Concord, or as some people say, Concord.
Okay.
Concord, North Carolina, Carolina Ale House, as the Hurricanes take on the St. Louis Blues on Tuesday.
A crisp light lager, just 97 calories. and $5 for a 16-ounce can where you can sample it here at PNC Arena.
How can you say no to a $5 16-ounce beer?
You can't. If you drink beer, you cannot say no to that.
You would be foolish.
And as our friend Jordan Martinook says,
crispy.
Crispy. Good stuff. All right, you want to get to some questions here?
Let's get to some questions because we got a lot.
All right. This from the Complainiac. Well, just talking about things.
Oh, no.
What is the biggest noticeable difference, parentheses, staff point of view, not fan, since Dougie's injury?
A lack of Dougie.
Yeah, lack of Dougie. That's really a lack of Dougie Hamilton in the locker room.
Yeah. I mean, I think you can see a tangible difference.
He's there, but he's not there with the team when I say a lack of Dougie in the
We've seen him wheeling around.
Oh, yeah.
Which is kind of funny. Obviously the first power play unit is affected by not having him on it, and it's a huge piece in the Hurricanes lineup that's missing. And I think you'd be the Hurricanes are clearly missing him right now. Well, but
from the staff point of view, when you say what's the biggest challenge, it's how do you fill those minutes and what he brought to the power play and 5-on-5. Betsy Duggins, you've kind of already talked about this, Michael Smith. What's the 4-1-1 on all the broken sticks? Trip Tracy's been doing a lot of research on this, and I've been around him when he's been talking about it. But the other day at practice, he was, given a few thoughts. And the reason why it seems like defensemen snap more sticks, they take more slap shots than forwards do.
Yeah.
So they're leaning on the stick a little bit more.
Right.
And I believe Rod Brindamore said, a guy like Alex Ovechkin, why doesn't he snap his stick? Because it's kind of like golf equipment now. You can kind of select the bend, the flexibility of your stick.
Mm-hmm.
So Ovechkin has one that's really flexible. Meanwhile, defensemen generally don't.
And I'm sure he's broken
a
ton this season.
I'm sure he has, but again, we just don't notice it.
Exactly.
All right.
And you notice it more when it leads to something bad.
Like in the other Vegas night. Game.
Right, exactly.
Where Joel Edmondson breaks the stick, and Sebastian Aho, trying to do the right thing, takes a penalty. Maybe Max Pacioretty had a little bit of embellishment, but it was a penalty.
Yeah.
Stick was parallel and you hooked him.
Yeah.
So that's that. But if you notice it because of the broken stick.
Right. If Joel Edmondson's stick breaks and Sebastian Aho picks it up and rifles it in the net, you're like, wow,
what a
great assist.
How about Sunday? Same thing. Jacob Slavin's just playing the puck and his stick breaks.
Yeah.
So things you got to take care of.
I don't think it's anything recency bias. That's what I say.
All right. Let's go with Camilla or Camilla. You can say both.
Camilla.
Do you think the Canes still have the chances? I'm going to go with it is Camilla. Do you think the Canes still have the chances to get into the playoffs in the top three of the Metro, or is it more likely that we'll go in as wild card 1 or 2? I still think there's chances.
I do too. Because for the longest time this season, we've said, there's a real opportunity to sneak into that 2-3 spot there in the Metro. Washington, I think at this point, is probably going to finish first in the division. Or maybe Pittsburgh catches them. They don't seem to lose.
All right. Can we answer that both with a yes? Yes, that there's a chance that they can sneak into the top three.
Yeah.
But it's more likely that they'll be the wild card.
Yeah, I can see that.
Okay. I got another one. Oh, here's a take it, leave it for you. You want to do that or you want to leave it? Leave it for next week or 2 weeks.
Oh, we'll take it.
All right. JD Masters, take it, leave it. Someone in the East will set a record for most points to not make the playoffs. We could turn.
What
it
is
into
the
a
record?
Question.
I don't know.
99.
Yeah, I don't know. The cut line is.
Didn't Montreal have 99, 98 last year?
96 or 97. Because Columbus had 98, and the cut line this year is projecting right at 98.
All right, let's take JD's question or take it, leave it, and reshape it into a question. Will somebody get 100 points and not make the playoffs?
No, not this year.
Okay. There we go.
Somebody might have 97 and miss it, but I don't think 100. If you have 100 points, you're going to make the playoffs.
All right. Carolina Canes 20 asks us a question, but then asks 40 questions in one question. So you ready to go?
Yeah,
I'm not
I saw
sure
some
what
of
types of questions I'm supposed to be asking.
Okay.
You can ask whatever you want, really. It doesn't.
Yeah, we take any and all questions. We don't discriminate on the
genres.
Thank you. Oh, well done. All right. So
it's a little loud. Sorry about that.
Oh, it should be. Do we want to go with the non sequitur questions or the more Canes questions?
Let's buzz through these non sequiturs real fast.
Works for me. Go.
Do you want to alternate?
No, you can go.
Chocolate or flowers?
I prefer chocolate, but women love flowers.
Same. Favorite love song or movie?
Favorite love song or movie?
Or movie. The Princess Bride.
Well, my favorite movie is The Untouchables, followed by Die Hard. That's really high on the peg.
Oh, I read it as like favorite love song or love movie.
Oh, well, no, I didn't know that. Mm. Oh, favorite love movie, 2 Weeks Notice with Hugh Grant and Sandra Bullock.
I would say The Princess Bride.
That's good, but I got broken up with after The Princess Bride. That's why I'm not a big fan of Disney. A favorite love song? Oh, my God, there's so many of them.
Yeah.
I mean,
there's probably a lot called love song.
Let's go with I Will Always Love You by Whitney Houston.
That's a good one.
Dolly Parton did it first. I just know that because it was on the radio the other day. Favorite duo on the team?
Svetch and Dougie.
Svetch and Dougie is a good one.
Aho and Terabyte.
Sebastian and
the Finns.
Tavo. Yeah, the Finns are a good one as well. And Pesci and Slavin. I got a lot of them.
Yeah. Most likely to lock himself out of his house.
Player wise? Or me and you? I have been locked out of my house because my garage door wasn't working.
I haven't yet.
Get in. Oh, buddy, you have just
now
cursed
I'm up a river.
You without a key. I'll just go for the sake of me and Michael Smith, me.
Yeah.
Favorite brand?
The Hurricanes.
Oh, yeah, 100%.
And R&D Brewing.
Oh, endorse that as well. Worst experience at a restaurant? Had a hair in my food, like a lot of it. It's not good.
Worst experience in public?
I got food poisoning once and threw up in public. That's not fun. That's never a good thing.
Yeah, I've thrown up. When I was in like first grade, we were walking out to the buses, and I just puked everywhere.
Oh, that's not a good one.
Very popular kid.
One story. I don't know if it's a worst experience, but I clearly can't share it, so I'll leave that one.
Who was an idol while growing up?
Oh, well, the Beatles were idols. Mm-hmm. Elvis was an idol. Oh, no, for us growing up, an idol for me. Don Mattingly, Nolan Ryan, Pat LaFontaine. I can keep going on and on and on for this one.
I think that's good.
Thank you.
We ran through those questions pretty quick.
What did you want to be when you were younger?
Oh. The first thing I remember wanting to be was a storm chaser, like one of those people who runs around and looks at tornadoes.
Brew.
Yeah.
So you are chasing the storm, my friend.
That I am. Crispy.
I wanted to be a baseball player.
Oh.
And then I wanted to be, the next thing was I wanted to be a play-by-play announcer.
Well.
Kind of close.
Check one or two.
Yes. Yeah. Well, I've done it. That's for sure. Do you think the Canes, moving on, this is from Dan. We're Daughtry, 88. Do you think the Canes make any moves before the trade deadline? Do you think they should? And who would you move if so?
I think it's more likely now that Dougie got injured. But, the Hurricanes still haven't been historically a trade deadline team because prices are so high.
Yep.
And this team isn't one to mortgage off draft picks just for a rental player for the randomness that is the playoffs.
All right, so let me answer this. Do I think the Canes make a move before the trade deadline? Yes. Do I think they should? I don't know. I want to see how they play the next 3 or 4 games, but the problem is moving in a player, I would rather have the player play 30 games than 20 games.
Yeah.
So that always becomes difficult. Who would I move if so? I would not move any players on the roster if I could get away with it. I would move draft picks, because I'm not gonna pay a lot for this muffler.
Yeah,
especially if it's a rental player.
Here's one from Elliot Farrell. I know Pesci went back in last night, but how is he doing overall? Will he be ready for the next game?
He's practicing.
He is practicing, so that's a good sign.
So
he should be good.
Mike B had a couple of storm brews at the Canes game yesterday, and let me tell you, those boys are crispy.
Hi.
Absolutely.
Thank you.
No question, just a comment.
Thank you.
Yes. Can we give him the other thank you, too?
Thank you.
Exactly.
Very crispy.
Very crispy. This is from sign_Edmondson. Will we get any TV coverage of Edmondson getting his ring Tuesday? I will tell you yes.
Okay.
I can...
Stay tuned.
I can be fairly certain that if it is presented on the ice to him, we will get a camera there somehow, some way. So I'm not going to answer the Rob Lowe question for you.
Yeah, I don't know if is it going to happen on the ice? I don't know.
I don't. I don't know what St. Louis's plans are for this, but yeah. I know he's getting his ring there. This is from Big Sam, the Caniac Man. Does the team go with last season's next man up mentality, or does Don Waddell make a game-changing trade before the deadline? Who will be the catalyst that lights a fire under this team with Dougie out? Will they continue rotating forwards for Willie? Will they continue rotating forwards for Willie, Michael Smith?
For now, yes.
Yes, they will.
But I think eventually they might have to settle into more of a, maybe not a rotation.
Okay. I don't disagree with that.
Yeah.
Who will be the catalyst that lights a fire under this team with Dougie out?
Oh, that's a good one.
I think we could say Justin Williams.
Yeah.
I think we could say Andre Svechnikov.
Say that, or Sebastian Aho.
I think we could say Teuvo Teravainen. There's lots of names we could say on that one. We've already answered the trade question. But I don't know if when we hear like a game-changing trade, I don't know. Yeah. Game-changing trade. Yeah, I said that right.
I don't know if it'll be a game-changing trade, but it would be, yeah. If a trade was made, it would be a trade that improves this hockey club.
Mike, a passion, another question about trades and what we get in return, but we'll just go to the, do you think the team will bring up Jake Bean? If necessary, yes, I think he'll be the first one who gets called up.
Yeah, if necessary.
This from Will. With the OT win last night against Vancouver, we've seen what the tie coming off can do. What happens if Big Rig sheds more clothing?
Hi.
We're going to have to charge a heck of a lot more money for admission to PNC Arena, folks.
Yeah. That's it. We're going to need a lot of noise to be made.
And
you got to make some noise to take the tie off, but anything more, you got to make.
Make some noise.
Like a lot of noise.
The roof needs to come off. And I need some, you know, a little something for the effort. Can throw some dollars my way.
And that we might not be able to show it on the video board.
No. Nope. That'd be like, that's part of the exclusive video content of this fine podcast. She would not co-sign on that one at all.
Thank you.
Yeah, you're welcome. Paul Lawson, our good friend from Scotland.
What's up, Paul? We're going to see him very soon.
Are we going to tear up Vegas hangover style? Hashtag Mr. Chow. We have to work.
Yeah, we do.
Sorry.
We do have to work. There's a practice, there's a game, and there's another practice.
As much as I would love for Michael Smith to do his best Zach Galifianakis.
Toodaloo. That's my best Mr. Chow right
now. Mr. Leslie Chow. Yeah. Dr. Leslie Chow.
Yeah.
I'm going to have to go with no. We're not going to tear it up. Doesn't mean we won't have a good time, but I don't think we're going to tear it up. We could try. You can tear it up.
I got a couple of emails.
Oh, really? Well, Warren Boyette had one. Do any of the Canes like wrestling?
Maybe.
I'm not 100% sure.
Yeah, I don't know.
I can think like the guys who grew up in Western Canada. Maybe they did. All right, good.
Here's an email. My name is Chris Williams. I live down the coast, but was born and raised in Cary, NC. My brother and I are lifelong Canes fans, as well as my 5-year-old daughter. I wanted to say thank you guys for the Canes cast every week and the hard work and time it takes to do that. I work nights and 6 nights a week, so I miss a lot of games, but I'm able to watch them on replay with my daughter, and we listen to you guys religiously at the beginning of every week. Thank you, Chris, for listening to us.
Thank you. That makes us feel great.
Got a couple of questions here. Is there any possibility of having an episode with whoever is responsible for the ice setup? That would be Jared Dupree.
Yes.
And we should have him on.
I would love to have Jared on.
Maybe we have him on this offseason when we have some time to really get to know Jared, the ice man.
Hey, man. If you're ever around PNC Arena and hear that. Hey, man.
It's Jared.
It's Jared, and it just started off as a small movement of, like, a hello, because, you know, sometimes you can't go across and shake, you know, hands and say hi.
Hi.
So it just turned, hey, man, and then it's taken into a life of its own.
Here is, he tosses in a like a keep it. Mrazek and Reimer finished the regular season with 12-plus combined shutouts.
Wow. They were at 6?
They're at 6, yeah.
No, we got to send that back.
Yeah, probably not.
But I could see him getting to 8 or 9.
Here's one more email from James Bingle in Wendell.
Oh, yes.
An All-Star edition. First, a question. Since the rules for save streak event and the skills say that a goalie's streak can't end with a save, why did they treat Bennington's 10th save as a walk-off and not give him a shot at the record? It's a good question.
Because they wanted to get it over with?
Yeah, probably.
That'd be my guess.
Second, if you like it, you'd take it and not send it back. The success of the elite women's All-Star game leads to the league adding 2 more teams for a round robin like the men play within the next 2 years.
Well, I can see that.
Yeah, I could see it. I thought it was great.
Yeah.
It was, for one, the skill was off the charts. It was exciting. It helped break up sort of the monotony, I think, of the skills competition. And it gave the fans something to cheer about. And the fans in St. Louis loved it. I loved watching it. Yeah, I could definitely see some more teams being added in the future. And maybe Alyssa Gagliardi could play.
That would be great.
And if you, hopefully you guys enjoyed our episode with her last week. I really enjoyed having her on.
Yeah, we enjoyed it.
Finally, to all the sports books that put Jacob Slavin at +700 and +900, don't you just feel a little silly right now? I'm going to be honest. I don't understand gambling. And
+700, +900 for what? To be the MVP of the All-Star game?
I think for the skills.
Oh,
for,
yeah. Then they should feel silly about it. Yeah.
It sounds like something they should feel silly about, but I don't know.
So +700, it's basically when you're talking about making wagers in Nevada, is usually you bet X to win X. So
Jacob Slavin to win
$700, skills. You had to bet $100.
Okay.
That's usually how that works. Sometimes it's like the odds are like 1 to whatever. So like if it was like 1 to 700, but when they do plus or minus, that's usually based off of you have to bet 100 to. So in this terms, if it was like minus 120, you'd have to bet $120 to win $100. In this case, if you bet $100, you would win $700 for Jacob Slavin winning that.
Oh.
Oh, yeah.
This has been Gambling with Mike Maniscalco.
I don't endorse it. Yep. You're welcome.
Thank you.
It is for entertainment purposes only.
Yes, always.
Yeah. Be responsible, by the way.
Any other questions for entertainment purposes only?
No, I was going to get to our trips afterwards, but you put them right in the middle of it. So
yeah, it felt a good place for him. Little intermission. Good.
Yeah, I liked it. I would go back to New Orleans, by the way. And I know that you're going to go back on a cruise ship at some point in time in your life.
Yep.
So.
Yeah, I'll add New Orleans to the list. We've got a list of domestic cities we want
to
hit.
I have a list of so many good restaurants to go to in New Orleans. Yeah. And I didn't even get to, like, the other ones that I was going to go to as well. So
it happens. Big city.
New Orleans, lots we will be back. We enjoyed you. And saw a Pelicans game.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. So it was fine. What I realized, the NBA is becoming an awful lot like Major League Baseball. You really aren't paying attention to a lot of the action. You just look up when you want to because everybody's talking. Then there's a big dunk, and you're like, oh, that's great. And then you're like, you know we're going to put up a three, miss it. Other team's going to go down, put up a three, miss it.
Some music's going to play.
You're going to say make some noise.
And we will.
And we will because that's –
because we do.
We're being asked to do it.
We're professionals.
At least we should.
Yeah.
It's polite.
It is.
Hey, that's good. I think that'll do it for this edition, right?
I think so. It was a jam pack. We had a lot to talk about because we've been gone for a while. And we should note that we are heading on the road for a 4-game trip. We will probably not have a podcast for you on Monday. We'll probably push it to Wednesday when the team gets back to Raleigh so that we can properly recap the week and a half that was. Or 9 days that we're on the road. So next Monday.
Not the 10th, but look for one on the 12th.
Yeah.
We apologize, but sometimes it's just what happens.
Yeah. You know, we pre-produced a couple late there in January, and because of vacations and time off and stuff, it was a busy weekend. Didn't get around to pre-taping with somebody. So. No.
And like everybody else's schedule, too. There was somebody we were going to pre-tape with today, but they were not available to pre-tape with us.
Correct.
So,
but, you know, just a couple days late next week.
But
maybe go back and listen to one of your favorites.
I will also bring this up. You heard the suggestion about, hey, you know, could you talk to the people responsible for the ice? If there's anybody that you do want us to talk to from the organization that you think would be interesting, we would be more than happy to make that happen for you.
Yeah. Our hope is in the off season to do some deeper dives with some folks around the organization, and we can certainly get to Jared Dupree at some point.
Absolutely. So that'll do it for this episode of the CanesCast for the lovely, the gem of this podcast. He is the Web's Michael Smith.
Thank you. And for TV's Mike Maniscalco, who's always got his tie on standby, ready to take it off at a moment's notice.
Threw it into the crowd.
I saw.
And she liked it.
You got it back, though. Mm-hmm. That's good.
Oh, you got to know who you're throwing the tie to.
Yeah.
Tie had to come off, man. Well, they kept the camera on me. I just can't unloosen it. I had to throw it.
Yeah.
Let's go.
Sometimes you got to give the people what they want.
Exactly. By the way, that's as much as I will be removing. Sorry for that question that came out. That's it. Talk to you on the 12th.
Yeah, we'll see you next Wednesday.
Exactly.
Moi moi.
Thank you.
Thank you all for listening to this podcast.